My guest at this time is former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. He's also president of the Senate Conservatives Fund and director of the Regulatory Action Center at FreedomWorks. During his legal career, Mr. Cuccinelli argued before the FISA court and knows firsthand how the process is supposed to work. He joins me now to discuss significant revelations in the highly anticipated memo from House Intelligence Committee Republicans about alleged abuses of the FISA court by the FBI and the Justice Department during the 2016 campaign. And Ken, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Well, let me briefly, if I can use that word, go over some of the key findings here. And obviously, you're welcome to elaborate. The major findings here include the fact that a FISA warrant was issued, which allows the government to spy on an American citizen, based upon the Steele dossier, which was compiled by a former British agent bent on stopping Donald Trump from becoming president, and funded for months by the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. It also says the dossier was in the infancy of being verified when it was first used to get a warrant on Carter Page in October 2016, and that the partisan nature of the funding and the compilation were not revealed to the court. And finally, it alleges improper contacts between federal law enforcement and Fusion GPS, which hired Steele to complete the dossier. So, Ken, what's the biggest headline from a legal and constitutional perspective for you?
Well, the biggest single piece of this is that Deputy Director McCabe, no fan of Donald Trump, as best we can tell, testified a little more than a month ago that without the Steele dossier, they would not have gotten the initial FISA warrant. So they obviously used this Clinton-financed item. I would love to see the full application to the FISA court, but that even today, McCabe acknowledges that without that dossier information, which has now been largely discredited, they would not have gotten the initial warrant in this, the most super secret of courts that we have in this country.
You've been in the FISA court. I've seen some social media posts from you explaining that a little bit. What kind of transparency is expected from the government and anyone else who appears there?
Well, one of the interesting things in this Nunes memo, and I'll just read it. It's one sentence. In terms of the one-sided nature of the request and the information provided to the FISA court, this should include a request for warrant, should include information potentially favorable to the target of the FISA application that is known by the government. Now, in an ordinary criminal case, when a prosecutor goes to get a warrant, they do not present information unless it screams out in some way that would be dishonest of them not to present the information helpful to the target of their warrant request. And I would dare say that most of the people in Congress who recently voted to reauthorize FISA, interestingly, only weeks before this memo came out, would object to that. And yet that is the process right now. The problem here is whether or not this was one of those instances that screamed out for the prosecutors to either not use the dossier because of what some people in the FBI already knew at the point when it was used about the, let's just say, unreliability of Steele in this matter, or should there be in place an opportunity to question the government and its fact and its evidence, such as it is, in this process. So what surprises me there is here you've got all these people that have voted to let this process go through. And mind you, virtually the majority in both parties has voted for this multiple times. And now they're upset about it. Well, I've been upset about it for a long time. And I'm hoping that the secondary story here isn't lost. So, Greg, I appreciate you asking about this. And that is this super secret court working in a way that we as American citizens are comfortable with? I'm not. And I think this memo is going to educate a lot more Americans about what's wrong with how this court works, over and above the political gamesmanship that went on with it coming out of the FBI in the 2016 presidential race.
We're talking with former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. And Ken, there had been some concerns, at least from the Democrats, about sources and methods. It doesn't appear to be anything in this memo that compromises anyone. So what do you think is the actual reason for opposing its release?
Well, you know, that it's interesting that that whole argument, which is a serious one if you just take it as an honest argument, is a big deal. You never want to give up sources and methods. And even I, who have very serious doubts about how this court works, wouldn't want to give up sources and methods. And yet there's nothing in here. And this wasn't changed very much. We understand there's one change made at Schiff's request. But there's nothing in here that touches on sources and methods other than the dossier itself. And a Yahoo News article that was informed also by Chris Steele. So, you know, that really makes Schiff look bad. He really looks like he was making up excuses to try and deter people from releasing this memo.
I assume at some point we'll get the Democratic counter memo, so they'll have different points to make, I suppose. How much testimony, for example, do you think ought to ultimately become public to determine who exactly is telling the truth here?
Well, you know, that's going to be kind of a consideration on a rolling basis. What I'd expect the Democrats to do is to present other testimony that somehow suggests the initial FISA warrant would have been requested and obtained anyway, in spite of McCabe's testimony and in spite of the now discrediting of the Steele dossier. So that's what I would expect the Democrats to try to focus on, is to give other reasons why the warrants would have been legitimately issued. They clearly, doing our Monday morning quarterbacking, were not legitimately issued. I think there's a lot to learn from this, both in terms of how this super secret court works and changing it. And also, I do think we're learning that at least part of the basis for starting what has become the Russia investigation as it related to the Trump campaign was really out on a limb and pretty cooked up, which would explain why we haven't seen anything come out with, what, six investigations running, counting all the congressional ones, in addition to Mueller, that shows any collusion, which is what the left is most prayerfully looking for. I guess they're not prayerful, so they're not prayerfully looking for it. But they're most ardently looking for is that kind of coordination, that kind of collusion, which would be, of course, absolutely devastating to the president. But even after this period of time, there's no suggestion anything like that exists. So when you're looking back on the rearview mirror, it is Monday morning quarterbacking, but this is a constitutional republic, and this is what we call accountability. And this does not make the decision-making in the FBI nor the use of the FISC, the FISA court, look very good in the rearview mirror.
A few more quick questions before we let you go here. Ken, you mentioned the Democrats looking for other things. A lot of Trump critics are pointing out that the memo in its final paragraph also reveals the campaign was under federal surveillance before the dossier was used as evidence in FISA court, specifically that George Papadopoulos, who is now facing some federal charges or actually pled guilty to false statements, was being investigated 3 months before the Carter Page warrant was issued. They say that shows there was already a legitimate investigation going on, and you cannot conclude that the entire Russia investigation is based on this questionable dossier. What's your reaction to that?
Well, again, I think that you can expect the Democrats to try to expand on that. But Papadopoulos looks like a guy they grabbed and threw at the table for when they were being attacked for not having foreign policy people. And look, I was on the Cruz primary team at the time. We were hitting them hard on the fact that they didn't have anybody on policy matters anywhere. And so their reaction was to quickly throw that stuff together. And one of those people they threw together was Papadopoulos. I don't think you're ever going to see anything else come out of Papadopoulos. He couldn't even get his emails returned up through August of 2016. So the notion that he is significant in any way is really based on what we know now, looks silly. I mean, this is genuine conspiracy theory stuff. And the only reason it's treated as more respectable is because the media wants to. And they do it for the same reason they were all covering Donald Trump so thoroughly in the primaries, the Republican primaries, ratings. I mean, that's what's driving the coverage.
One of the things the Democrats have done here, I just saw that Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and the two whips have put out a letter essentially to the president saying we think this is all partisan. And the fact that one of these FISA requests was made by the current Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, who oversees the Mueller investigation, they say they're just giving a warning now that you can't fire him or we're going to consider this obstruction of justice. So what do you make of that reaction?
So first of all, let's talk about Rosenstein. There is a difference, a real-world difference, between renewing a FISA warrant and getting the original one. Now, on paper, they're supposed to go through the same process, effectively. But when you're a judge sitting there and the warrant was already issued once by one of your colleagues, you can just guess, as a matter of human nature, how much easier it is to meet the burden the second time around. And within the department, they may well have just said, hey, boss, nothing has changed. We have all the same information. Okay, go with it. I don't know that that's what happened, but there's a fair number of these warrants that they get. It's not like they only convene this court once a month or something. This is going on with some degree of frequency. And when you get to the repeats, the reissuances of warrants, as a simple matter of human nature, I just cannot believe that these judges hold the requesters of the warrants to the same standard as a simple matter of human nature as they do the first time around. And realize, I don't remember the exact number, but it's something over 99% of the requested warrants are granted.
Yeah, it's an overwhelming number, absolutely.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. I mean, it would strike you as laughable, really. I mean, it begs the question, why do we bother having a court that's supposed to act as an independent filter? And it really does beg that question. And I hope we get to those questions as part of this discussion. But I do think that this does put a chink in the armor of the origination of this whole, you know, Trump-Russia collusion theory that we still don't see any evidence of. And people on the left say, well, wow, what about the June meeting? You know, that's not, I'm sorry, that's just not collusion. Collusion is doing something. It's intentionally having a meeting where you're going to do more than get an oppo dump you were hoping from these folks. It's working together, and there's literally no evidence of that at this point. So when you see this memo additionally undermine one of the initial building blocks of the Russia investigation, it does undermine the credibility of people on the left who are banking on this so much to take out the president, even though he was duly elected.
Well, Ken, I know we've kept you longer than expected, so we appreciate your time. And I think you've made a critical point that we're probably not going to hear elsewhere, because everyone's going to go back and forth on the politics of this probably, but not thinking of how it would impact specifically Carter Page, but the ability to do this to any American citizen and what that means in the future in terms of evaluating the FISA court and the full FISA system is critical.
One last quick one, Greg, and I'll leave the question hanging because it's so obvious. How would the Democrats feel if the Trump administration's law enforcement arms were able to do this in the fall of 2020? How do you think they would like that? I don't think they would like it very much, and I think it ought to be fixed before we get there.
Well, we'll call it there. Ken, thanks very much for your time, as always.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Ken Cuccinelli is the former attorney general in Virginia. He's also president of the Senate Conservatives Fund and director of the Regulatory Action Center at FreedomWorks. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.